Hello, everybody. Father, we thank you for these blood covenants of promise through your holy Bible. Your word is good. You're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. Have you not said it? Will you not make it good? Then the son of man could have lied, but did not, and lived a perfect life. And he used the words of the covenant to put down his enemy, Satan. And we thank you for that. And we praise you and thank you that we can do the same. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The covenant and the contradiction. Now, there's a five-step outline on this, and so I'm just going to give you the outlines of it. Number one, as for me. And we talked about that. Number two, he considered not his own body. He considered only the covenant. I consider not my body 86 years old, but only what he had promised. Number three, consider Jesus, blood of the everlasting covenant. He swore by himself, better priest and better covenant. This same Jesus in the book of Acts is now the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Because he is the high priest of this blood agreement.
That's right.
You remember the resurrection after 3 days and three nights.
Right.
Early. All it had to do was pass midnight. And there he was. And Mary. This little woman, out of whom went, what was it, seven devils? She was there.
That's right.
He said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Well, that is in the book of Hebrews. That's what happened then. He had to appear before the Most High God. His blood had to be put on the heavenly mercy seat. You could say the heavenly ark of the covenant.
That's right. Well, that's what it is. Moses saw heaven and recreated things here for the tabernacle he saw there. Brother Couple, you were talking about it yesterday, about the blood, life being in the blood. And you just talked about it again, so I'm going to jump in right here, that he hadn't gone yet to take his blood up there. I often wondered, Adam standing right there, Eve standing right there, the Lord standing right there, why didn't he just take care of the sin problem right then? Why didn't he do that? He didn't have human blood.
That's right.
The word had not become flesh yet.
That's right.
Now, man had human blood that God created, but he had a God spirit. He'd been given a spirit. He lost that. I mean, he still had a spirit, but he lost that connection with that. He had to wait till he had human blood. And so all of these covenants are getting us into that position to when that one promised seed will come on the earth.
The fullness of time.
That's exactly right.
God invented time. So the fullness of time, that means that the pieces, when you put all the pieces, it's like doing a puzzle. When you put all the pieces together, there's Jesus. The future, ages to come, had to be revealed. There had to be a man so much like Jesus, so full of love, so committed to put that on paper. And it was the man that was the one that was standing so close to that cross, and he was standing there with his mother. And he's hanging on this cross. He said, "Behold your son, behold your mother." And he wrote the last book of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So God could trust the man of love. Mm-hmm. And to be so brutally straight, he did not get away, go away from him. It was John. His gospel is the most complete. His is the one where we find out what totally about what happened in all of the promises and so forth that were made. The 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 chapters of John.
Beautiful.
I mean, he laid it out by the Spirit of God. So then we find out through him that love did all this for us. That God is love. It didn't say he's power, but he is love. And we find out then that love wanted mankind back so badly that he devised a plan. It was a life plan. And it cost animals their blood.
That's right.
Innocent animals. They didn't do anything.
I often wondered why that was, because man was given dominion over the animals. I've heard people pray, and it's a real thing lately, for God to take dominion over Congress, for God to take dominion over UN, or for him to send angels to take dominion. No, we were given dominion.
That's right.
That's praying amiss.
Well, this would be a good time to introduce this. The day was April 30th, 1789. Now, that's 234 years ago. That's 15 minutes in God time. This was a day of making covenant with Almighty God for the United States of America. A proclamation was made for the sacred gathering at Federal Hall. Come and see your president take his oath today that God will accept this land as his. At 9 a.m., the bells rang throughout the city. George Washington made his official oath of office in New York City. He laid his hand on the Bible, not just merely opened the Bible. He specifically opened it up and laid his hand upon the covenant God made with Abraham in the book of Genesis. Then, lifting his other arm upward toward heaven, Washington made a vow to lead our nation and honor the God of Israel and his covenant. After Washington invoked his oath and covenant unto the Lord and sealed it with, "So help me God," he bowed his knee to the ground in reverence and kissed the Bible. Afterward, Washington called the senators and newly elected officials to join him as they walked arm in arm down the streets of New York's St. Paul's Chapel. There they bowed together, prayed, and dedicated this land, our beloved America, to God. The day that George Washington was inaugurated was the day the covenant was invoked and America belonged to God Almighty.
That's right.
Amen.
The first recorded act of Congress was to make covenant with God. Then I have the prayers that he prayed. Now, not all of some of it was prayed that day, but these are prayers you should be praying in church. Well, the Lord reprimanded me because I've known this for years and I let it slip. No more. Because I pray for the nation. I thank God for the food. I pray for my partners. I pray for the nation. So it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and George. Mm-hmm. And I'm crying out. And the book of Exodus said, his people cried out to hear him, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we're invoking the covenant. for this nation. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I intend to scatter this as far as I can get it. Amen. There is a, the Liberty Bell comes as quoting in the book of Leviticus that there be liberty throughout the land. And they rang it until they broke it, cracked that thing. They rang it so hard. And for a long, long time, the 4th of July was a day of prayer. And now it's barbecue and beer. Mm-hmm. Not at my house, it isn't. No, no.
But we're covenant people. I think part of what's wrong with America is we have been circumcised by the heart. We are bought with the blood. We were bought with a price. And we've not either understood. There's a contradiction to our covenant with our nation right now. Mm-hmm. There is a big contradiction. And it's not Democrats or Republicans.
It's the love of money.
Now, Abraham was wealthy, but he was wealthy the right way.
Yes.
By covenant.
Yes. And that the Gloria and Kenneth started out with zero. You've heard me say it. I was talking about ORU. I said, if we go up there with these two small children, we'll starve out. She said, Kenneth, we're starving now. We might as well starve in the will of God is out. But by learning from two members of the great cloud of witnesses, mm-hmm. Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin, we learned the laws of faith. We learned these things that we're talking about right here and right now. I've heard Kenneth Hagin refer to these things.
Yes.
About the legalness of the Word of God. It had to be absolutely legal. It had to be so absolutely perfect in order to get something perfect into this earth, which was imperfect.
He watches over that word.
To perform it.
To perform it. And what Abraham did, we talked about it yesterday, immediately that day.
I mean, he acted on it immediately. The corresponding action was immediate.
And that was a painful one.
Yes, it was.
A lot of times the thing that God asks us to do isn't painful like that. But do we do it immediately?
But we have been circumcised of the heart.
Yes, sir.
And I am totally convinced it is as real that there is a cut there that I guarantee you the devil can see. It's there. And particularly if the results corresponds with it. We are new creatures.
Yes, we are. And so this is why our whole focus, because Abraham's focus by hope, because he couldn't see it, he didn't know that his name would be Jesus. Now, he's met with God. God came and visited him. But he said with his own mouth, he set the action, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice or the body. Mm-hmm. But he was walking through it. He was intent on killing Isaac.
Oh, yeah, and so was Isaac.
Isaac was in agreement with
it. I mean, he got up on that. And in fact, he said, where's the sacrifice?
Isaac's not 5 years old.
No.
He's a grown man.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
He's carrying the wood on his shoulders like Jesus carried the cross.
But then the faith man told his helper, he said, the lad now will be back.
Sure, yes, right. He did.
That's and you see it over in the book of Hebrews. It says, that's worth reading.
Chapter.
And verse 17, 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises of blood.
There it is.
Offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He saw it in the spirit. Yep. He had the knife here. He fully planned to see that boy raised up from those ashes, which he figures is going to be the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. There was a ram stuck in the thicket.
That's right.
Now,
by his head. And that's symbolic of Jesus, the yes. Lamb of God, yes. with the crown of thorns on his head.
Mm-hmm. But I've often wondered who that ram belonged to. Whose was that? I had somebody tell me, well, God just created him. No, he didn't. He did that in the beginning.
Well, if I'm looking at a human person, I'm just going to reason it out. We're spitballing here against the wall. Melchizedek, king of Salem, this is what will become Jerusalem. It's the same place. Is it his? I don't know.
Whose I expect it was. I hadn't thought of that, but he was very wealthy.
Yeah, it was. And Abraham paid tithe to him.
Yes, he did.
When he first met him, he said, blessed be Abraham.
It had to be a ram that was worthy to be a sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
It had to belong to someone who was in position to cause that to be. Well, who was Melchizedek?
Shem.
Shem.
Okay, now caught in a thicket, that takes me back to the burning bush,
yes,
which was a on thing. They're all tying together. This is why circumcision, the outward mark on your flesh, yes, is not where your faith should be. Moses is not where your faith should be.
That's right.
It should be where Abraham's faith was, and you can find it over in Hebrews chapter 3. Consider Jesus.
That's right.
We have got to consider Jesus.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Well, okay, go right on here into verse 12. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, mm-hmm, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction, yes, of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind.
Yes.
Now we got the cure for worry. Yes. Glory to God.
And look at verse 4. And you've not, yes, yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
But he did.
He did.
He bled through his pores in the garden against sin.
Every place he bled reversed a curse.
Yep.
So stress is a curse. And he bled from that place of stress.
Yes.
That reversed the curse. When this work, the sweat of your brow, you'll work. When they place the crown of thorns and blood, that curse reversed. He was bruised for our iniquities. A bruise is an inner bleed, a wound inside. He was bruised for all the wounds that you carried inside. The curse has been broken.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, who do you suppose was the tailor? That wove his clothes together, that they had no seam. Isn't that amazing? Who made the clothes that clothed the madman of Gadara? And Luke 23. As they led him away, they laid upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it for after Jesus. Oh. Wonder what happened to him. He carried the cross of the Master. But here's something I want you to see. there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Now get the picture. He's been beaten nearly to death. That thing had woven into it pieces of flint and bone, so that everywhere that whip went, it wasn't just one. It's called the cat of nine tails. And everywhere it went, it just gouged into the flesh out of there to the bone. And he was bleeding all over his back. Now, you can imagine the pain involved in this. No, you can't. Because he's headed to hell and knows it. My God, anyway. Under that condition, there followed him a great company of people, women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, he stopped long enough to teach some women and take care of them. I have no mental concept of a man. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? He stopped to teach.
Brother Copeland, it sounds like he's talking about our day.
It is.
I mean, that's abortion, barren.
Revelation 6:16, John wrote about it.
Yeah.
He was there.
Sure. Yes, he was.
When I read that, I began to, it affected me just like it is now. And it's just been in the last few days. 56 years, I didn't see that. But I've been asking the Lord and stayed before the Lord to widen my concept and new messages that will bring attention to Him and to people that are lost. This is the man. This is the man. By those stripes we're healed.
Amen. Yes.
But right in the middle of all of that, he stopped and said, "Don't cry for me. How could you help but cry for him?" He wanted to put a stop to that because they were hurting. In his concept, they were hurting more than he was.
Oh, God.
And if you read the rest of that by your faith, there's some of those that are going to see him in a few hours from now because he appeared to over 500. Don't you know? You know those women were involved in it. Because if you go to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, they were the ones that are financing his ministry.
That's right.
Praise God. I don't know what to do now.
I'm telling you.
Oh, she says, well, how long have we been out? 5 minutes, I guess. No. Carol's saying we're out of time. Okay, we'll be back, man.
Discover how simple the answer to every question and every problem in life can be in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, a new book by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stephens. In this approachable book, dive deep into what a covenant is and what it's for. Discover what your covenant does for you and learn to overcome every contradiction and obstacle. With every covenant promise comes a contradiction. When you read in the Bible that by Jesus' stripes you're healed, and the diagnosis comes back incurable. Or when you're facing a towering stack of unpaid bills, when you read that God promises you prosperity, common sense and human reasoning rise up to shout, there's no way that God's promises will happen in your life. Thank God, covenant men and women throughout time have refused the contradiction and praised through in faith to the end result, the blessing promised by God, and you can too. See the Bible unfold more clearly than ever before in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction. God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stevens. Available now for pre-order for only $26.99 on kcm.org/tvcovenant. Discover the rich inheritance God's love has provided for you, spirit, soul, and body. Overcome every contradiction and obstacle, and receive God's covenant promises for a victorious, abundant life. All pre-orders will begin shipping in September, free standard shipping included.
When you pray, believe you receive it. Extraordinary, unusual, provision. Jesus came with an assignment to destroy the works of the devil, to redeem us. And when the time was right and he came and he fulfilled his assignment, Satan had to stand by and watch it happen and couldn't do a thing about it.
Number one, don't use the word of God for personal advantage. Number two, don't you associate with wicked people even for the attainment of a good end. And then third one, never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit.
We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord.
They said, what kind of man is this? Shall I tell you? A faith man.
Come on.
He did everything by faith because it said he perfectly pleased the Father.
Join us for the 2023 Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. Register at kcm.org/swbc today.
Welcome to kcm.org, your study center for victory. Watch the BVOV broadcasts on demand. Search by topic or speaker and study along with the detailed daily broadcast notes. Or download the podcast version to listen on the go. Total immersion in the Word of God at home, in the car, at the gym, or in the waiting room. Find a schedule of KCM events and watch on demand. Search by date, speaker, or keyword for hours of inspiring truth from the Bible. KCM.org meets you where you are.
We're so glad you could be with us here today at the Dream Factory. We're in glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the author of the greatest dreams the human race could ever know. And we praise him for it. Thank you for being with us. Be with us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens, and the whole class reminding you that God loves you. And we love you. And of course, Jesus
is Lord.
Yes, so give the Lord a praise and honor his name.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.